Would you open with me to Psalm 71? And perhaps by way of a text this evening, a verse, a reference that captures a great deal of what the psalmist is saying, is verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. As you look at this psalm, you see a man telling of troubles that he faces, troubles very like yours and mine, whether in the past or the present or perhaps still to come. But he's a man who is trained and practiced trusting in the Lord. I remember one day, quite some years ago, watching as two men were doing a carpentry job, and one of the men he was the labourer, and he was sawing through a large board of wood. This type of wood, it was much bigger than this, and he was trying to cut through this. It was perched on benches and so on with a handsaw, and he was working away vigorously and not getting very far very quickly. And the other man, who was my friend, an older man, he was actually a trained carpenter and joiner. And so the first man had managed to get about halfway through, and the older man, he took the saw and he knelt in the right place. He got the saw, and in slow, steady strokes, he cut through that like a hot knife through butter, and it was done in no time at all. That was a man who trained and was practiced in the task. And just looking at, watching him, I learned a great deal in just those few moments. How simple it was, but getting the essentials right. And we look at this psalmist as he tells us of how he goes about trusting in the Lord. We can learn a lot from him in just these few words. Those simple things, but the essentials. And just to take you quickly through the psalm, to highlight a number of things that we have here, which I would summarize like this. There is, first of all, what we might call a prayer in confidence, then an expression of praise in trust. Then he tells us of his peace in salvation. And finally, the purpose that he has for the Lord. These would be the things that I would emphasize as we look through what he has to say in this psalm. First of all, prayer in confidence. Second, praise in trust. Peace in salvation, and his purpose for the Lord, or even in the Lord. Prayer in confidence, first of all, and I'm looking here, really, at verses 1 through to 4. These are in terms of prayer. He's crying out to God. In you, O Lord. He's speaking directly to the Lord. He does that a number of times through the rest of the psalm as well. But this is his opening. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. And then he, in his call to God to deliver him in verse 2, be my strong habitation in verse 3, and again in verse 4, deliver me, O my God. It's a prayer for God's help, for God's security. That God would deliver him, would be his strong habitation, his rock, his fortress. As we read on through the psalm, in just a few moments, and in verse 4, we see that he's troubled by his enemies. And we would think that in the Old Testament days, it was very probably enemies of Israel that you could see, that you could hear, armed men. But it also applies to the devil and his servants, the enemies of God's people. And in the face of enemies, he knows that it's the Lord that he should rely on. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. But there is also indications that he is already kept by the Lord. He calls on the Lord that the Lord from here on would keep him, because he is already kept by the Lord. In verse 3, you are my rock and my fortress. Not only does he cry out for God's help, but he testifies to God's help. He has confidence that God is the place where he can turn, where he must turn. If God is his rock and his fortress, and he needs a rock and fortress, he must turn to the Lord. And what an excellent combination we have here. What an example, what a pattern we have set before us for our prayers too. That he's praying, not presuming. He's pleading with God that God would help him. Jesus tells us that even the basics of life, our Father in heaven knows that we need these things before we ask. And surely God knows that this man who would seek to put his trust in him, this man needs his help, God's help. God knows that. But yet, he prays, and he prays. He repeatedly prays in different ways, different expressions. He's crying out to the Lord to deliver, to keep him. He's praying, not presuming. But he's also trusting, not demanding more evidence. When he prays, he's not asking God to prove himself. He's not asking God to say, how do I know that you'll be sure? You've been sure, yes, but how do I know you'll still be sure? He doesn't need to do that. He does trust. His prayer is not of that kind. His prayer is simply that God will go on hearing. And it's because of that that we have that expression in verse 16 that I've offered as a text. It's because of that that he then, it does come to that place, and he says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. That expression of confidence. And it is the character of his prayer. I'm just going to go through the psalm very quickly, because next we recognize his expression of praise in trust. Now, perhaps trust and confidence, you might say, this, what's the difference? Maybe not a great deal. There's something very similar in both of them. But it's I'm connecting it with his expressions of praise. His praise is a trusting praise as well. His praise is because of his confidence. First he prays, then he offers his praise. He offers his prayers and then his praise, his exaltation of God, lifting up of God in his glory. He praises God by referring to his past experience. In verse 5 he says, you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from my birth. He refers to his past experience, which is enough to assure him of future provision. God is the one who has helped him thus far. And so he goes on in putting his trust in the Lord. It reminds me of Proverbs, where Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's what this man is doing. He's grown up trusting in the Lord. He's grown up knowing and being able to recognize where God has been at work in his life. And so he says, well, if God has done all this, why should I turn anywhere else? It's the same God that I must continue to put my hope in. Because he's upheld me from my birth. Who else can do that? In any case, he is able to look on God's hand in his life, from his youth, verse 5, from his birth, even, from verse 6. And you are he who took me out of my mother's womb. Isn't that an expression, a reminder at that point in any of our lives of greatest vulnerability? The Lord was active, holding him. He's learnt to see that. And therefore, this is the one that he will put his trust in. So it has been through his life. We find that he is an old man by this time. There's a couple of references further on in the psalm. Verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age. In verse 18, when I am old and grey-headed, O God, do not forsake me. He's spent time. He's practiced trusting in God. He's practiced recognizing God's care over him from his birth, through his youth, through to his old age. And he bears witness to that, to you and to me, tonight again. As God has helped him, he puts his trust in him, but he also turns and gives his praise. In verse 8, the continuation of what he has just said, in verse 6 as well, "My praise shall be continually of you," into verse 8, "Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day." That's the only fitting response, to praise God. And remember, there is something of a distinction between praise and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is we can be very inclined to become very selfish in that. We can be inclined to just focus on what God has done for me. It is the way in, very often, the way in to recognize who God is. And praise is the only response that we can give when we find who God is. And the psalmist is praising. The psalmist is being led from God's care of him to say who God is, and God as the one who is utterly trustworthy, the one who is worthy of this glory and honor. And so we have that capsule of verse 16. He will go in the strength of the Lord, but his purpose in going on in that strength is not just to be able to accomplish what he feels he ought to accomplish, but the second part of that verse, "I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only." Not mine, not anybody else's, but yours, God's, the Lord's righteousness. His great purpose in endeavoring to go on in his life as an old man, to do that in the strength of the Lord, his purpose is that he will be able to tell of God's righteousness, of God as the righteous one. It's because God is the righteous one that the psalmist and we must trust in the Lord. His righteousness reminds us that he is the one who doesn't waver, he doesn't change. He is true. And these things are wrapped up in what the psalmist is saying here, Psalm 71. It's because God is righteous that we have confidence in him, and we can put our trust in him. We must pray to him, and we must offer our praise. I think we can also see something of his peace in his salvation, which again is rooted in that same knowledge of the Lord. From verse 9 through to verse 15, really, we have, remember, this old man writing. He's been there. He's done that. He's going back again. He's going to do it again. This is the way he's going to go on through life. He's learnt by hard experience. He's facing hard experience right now. In 2 Peter 1, we read a few verses this morning as we closed, and to that faith add a number of things, including perseverance, holding on to the Lord. Now, in his old age, since youth, he is with the Lord just as well, because in verses 9 through to 13, he speaks about his enemies. It's quite a long section talking about those who are opposed to him, and it is on account of his faith. In verse 11, they know that he is one who testifies that God is with him. They are taunting him as the passers-by did with Jesus on the cross. God has forsaken him. And if God has forsaken him, pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. He was known, his character known to men was that he was God's man. But there were obviously things that they misinterpreted, that It looked as though God had forsaken him, perhaps like the friends so-called of Job, who thought God had left him. But it would indicate that it was especially on account of his faith that he faced these enemies. What does he do? Does he let go of his faith? What will it be like for us in these next 12 months? Things are changing in our society. There's an opposition to Christian faith. When it stands on the foundation of Scripture. But when it's tough, as a Christian, for the sake of the gospel and the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let's watch this one who is trained and practiced through many years. And he says, that's not the way I'm going. I'm not letting go of this God. There is no one like him. As verse 16 says, this God is righteous. He's under test from verses 9 to 13. There are many enemies. There are those who seek his hurt. He does pray that they would be confounded and consumed. But he doesn't let up. He says in verse 14, but I will hope continually. There's no let up in the opposition. There's certainly no let up in the hope. Faith marks him. He's under targeting because of it. What's his answer? I will praise you yet more and more, in verse 14. I wonder what the rugby coach would say when there's a good defense stops you in every attack. What do you do? Do you forget about attacking? Surely not. There's this opposition trying to stop us in our walk of faith. What did you do? Stop that walk of faith? You press on. I will praise you yet more and more. The very thing that's bringing this opposition against him is his answer to that opposition. In every affliction, he knows that strength of verse 16. He's known it thus far unto old age. That's what he's going to go on in. I will praise you yet more and more, verse 14. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. It's because he has known God's salvation that he is strong, and that in the midst of opposition he has this peace, this hope, this persuasion to go on praising and telling of God's righteousness. What's the answer to that opposition? Is to go on talking to one another, to yourself, and to others. Talking, telling, praising God's righteousness, his qualities, his gifts, his salvation. Remember these things. Strengthen one another. I wonder if sometimes isn't 7 days almost too long to be apart when we're in a world that would despise this God. We need to help one another by talking about this God. That's what this psalmist is doing. We'll come in just a moment to his purpose, which is all the more of that as well. But I do love the way that he tells us in verse 15, I'm going to tell of your righteousness. Let me take you back to verse 14. I will hope continually. I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. Why? Because I don't yet know their limits. There's still so much more beyond me. I'm going to keep on. I only know a little bit about these things. Do I know any more than he did? No, surely not. Do you know any more than he did? Surely not. Well, let's go on talking. Let's go on discovering. Let's go on reaffirming that this God is the righteous one. And his salvation is good. His salvation is strong. And even where there are those who would mock, who would lie in wait, this God will not forsake us because he is righteous. And that's where I come to his great purpose for the Lord. We would probably expect that we have another day in front of us, each of us, maybe tomorrow, Monday. We would anticipate that we have another year, we're making our plans, we have our diaries filling, our schedules and so on. How will we go into that year? Will we have the strength for that year? Here's a man who has come to old age, who's spent many years, and he is looking forward as well. And it's as though he's asked himself the question, how am I going to take the next step? How am I going to meet the next day? How am I going to go into the next year of my life? And he says, I'm going to go in the strength of the Lord God. Why does he say that? Because there were people around him then who needed to hear. There are people through many years since who need to hear. And to say, well, isn't that the way I should go too? In the strength of the Lord. And that's good. How else can we go through life? But by the strength of the Lord. The Lord God. We've talked about him, we've sung about him, who has done marvelous things, not just for individuals, but for nations and for the world itself. And he will give us his strength. But the psalmist reminds us of something vitally important in that respect. Because we should be asking ourselves the question, well, if we are looking for the strength of the Lord God, the Almighty, to help us through our lives, what are we going to do with it? Why should he give us his strength? Why should he come with us and enable us? Why does Jesus call us to share in his easy yoke, to be bound together with him? And it's easy because he is strong. This old man. It's all very well that he is expecting or wanting to live for some time yet. In that life, does he have a right to ask God to help him? He has an answer for that. He says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. But he doesn't stop there. It's not just for him. It's so that he will be equipped to do something. And that's where the second part of verse 16 takes us and right through to the end of the psalm virtually. What does he want the strength of the Lord God for? So that he is able to make mention of the Lord's righteousness, only God's. Verse 17, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day, what do I do with that? I declare your wondrous works. Verse 18, now I'm old and grey-headed, don't forsake me, Lord, because many might forsake the old and the grey-headed. Don't forsake me. Why not? Because I still need time, I want time to be able to declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. I have a purpose, and it's all about you, Lord, about giving you the glory, putting your name and your righteousness and all that belongs to you, putting it in front of others who also need to hear. In verse 20, you have shown me great and severe troubles. You will revive me again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. So what am I going to do with that? Verse 22, with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you. And my soul, which you have redeemed. I will go on I will go into the next hour, the next day, maybe the next year, in the strength of the Lord, because I have something to do in life, and that is to make mention of the righteousness of the Lord, to declare His wondrous works, because He's a wonderful God. It's been His habit, His practice. He can't stop. From my youth and to this day, verse 17, I declare your wondrous works. Because the Lord is his strength. Jesus said, He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But he continues, For without me you can do nothing. What do we need the Lord Jesus for? What do we want him for? What kind of thing do we want to do? Abiding in him and he in us is about bearing fruit for him, for his glory. The fruit of the Spirit in our own lives, fruit in the lives of others too. Just taking this brief glimpse at this psalm, and there's a few days to go yet before our calendars turn over. How are you proposing to enter the new year? How am I proposing to enter the new year? Great plans ahead? Hopes? Puzzles? Uncertainties perhaps? The things that you might be inclined to do need resources of one kind or another? Do you remember Solomon when he set out on a new task, a great task? And the one thing he asked from God, which pleased God, was, Give you to your servant an understanding heart. For who is able, he said, to judge this great people? But the things that you seek from God, the understanding heart, the strength, the refuge, the strong habitation, the deliverance, those things, God knows too what the desire of our heart is to do with the things that we seek. If you say, I will go in the strength of the Lord God, that's what we say. What will you do if you should receive that strength? What does God redeem you for? What does God deliver you for? Let us each, and we need to do it together too. Let us go in the strength of the Lord. But like the psalmist, fully intending in that strength to devote ourselves to mentioning his righteousness, only his. Telling, declaring of his wondrous works, of his power to everyone who is to come. Recognizing and acknowledging his comfort, verse 21. Praising him, the Lord, and his faithfulness, verse 22. Confessing him as the Holy One of Israel, verse 22 again. And bearing witness that he has redeemed your soul, his great redemption. There is nothing so great as the salvation of our God in Christ Jesus. He didn't even have that. But yet his life was given over to bearing witness to God. And there's little enough of it in our society. Throughout the world there's a need for this witness in truth. As we set out on this new year in the next few days, let's ask ourselves, what is the purpose of our lives? Where do we get it from? Where does it lead to? May I give you this as a guide that will be good for every one of us, that we too will go in the strength of the Lord God in everything making mention of His righteousness, only His. May the Lord bless His word among us this evening. As the psalmist has borne witness to his trust and faith in his God, as we have read it, let us do so also in somewhat different words, but bearing witness to the truth of his word in the words that we know as the Apostles' Creed, that we might make this profession together this evening. The words are on page 4, left column, then right column. And I will lead, but do please join in, that we share together in confessing our faith in the one true and living God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.